The future of reporting now.
This is Concordia News Radio.
Good morning. It's currently 12 degrees at the Loyola campus of Concordia University. I'm Anthony Issa, and here are today's headlines. A call for Quebec to acknowledge systemic racism. Tensions are brewing in the National Assembly. And debating free speech in our universities. The Assembly of First Nations of Quebec and Labrador is still holding their breath for Quebec to act on racism and discrimination against Indigenous people. A year after the 141 suggested actions by First Nation leaders are at a standstill. Mackenzie Sanche has the story. Mackenzie, are the First Nations feeling more optimistic towards government action against discrimination?
Yes, they're feeling a lot more optimistic. Actually, they've even taken the matter in their own hands. They have done surveys and they've seen very positive results from Quebecers, and they feel very hopeful for the future.
Because how can you say that you will change things when you don't recognize the problem? So this is my opinion.
And how do they feel about the government's inaction?
Well, that was Nadia Robertson speaking from the Assembly this morning. And you can hear from her voice that there's a lot of deception, that they were hoping for a lot more action as they submitted these suggestions last year, just after Joyce's death. And now we're celebrating her one-year anniversary, and still nothing is happening. So this is why today they were hoping for something a lot better. They're offering new suggestions.
Mm-hmm. And what new actions does the Assembly intend to take?
They want to create a campaign. They will be calling upon the citizens, upon Quebecers, instead of calling directly to the government, because there's a lot of inaction. So they want to create I'm sorry for the noise in the background. So they want to organize more marches, like the one going on tomorrow. They're hoping that we can create bigger movements on social media using hashtags. So, for example, the hashtag Agir contre le racisme, Act Against Racism, and hashtag First Nations. So you can follow them to make sure that there's going to be more action and you can help them yourself.
We realized over the last year that it is directly with the Quebecois that we must work without waiting for government actions. Actions are always awaited, and that when they arrive, inevitably end up disappointing us.
Thank you, Mackenzie. Question period was heated at yesterday's National Assembly. This followed the government's refusal of an opposition motion against systemic racism in response to the death of Joyce Echaquan. Talia Cliott has the story.
Legault attacked Liberal Indigenous Affairs critic Greg Kelly after he asked a question about systemic racism at yesterday's National Assembly. Liberal Party leader Dominique Anglade called his actions out of line.
Did not answer the question, voted against the motion, and talked about a different topic. So I don't think it was where we should have been yesterday collectively at the National Assembly.
This is one of the few times where the Parti Québécois and the
population.
Liberals actually agree on something. PQ leader Paul Saint-Pierre Plamondon denounced the lack of professionalism in the National Assembly.
And I really think it was inappropriate given the seriousness of the topic, given the target that we have to move things forward.
Nakasit, the executive director of the Natives Women's Shelter in Montreal, explained that while Legault's comments are frustrating, it's the general public's thoughts that matter.
And I think that if the general public is in agreement about systemic racism, eventually he's going to get the memo and he'll have to also acknowledge it.
In the meantime, Indigenous and minority groups will continue to fight to implement the motion in Echaquan's honor. Talia Cliott, Concordia News, NDG.
The Quebec Nursing Association is extremely concerned about the shortages of workers in emergency rooms. The lack of staff has caused massive impacts, limiting services and even forcing partial closures of ER centers. While they welcome the measures taken by the Quebec government to reintegrate more nurses into the healthcare system, the association is hoping that more is done to ensure better working conditions and also better access to ER centers for the population. Quebec childcare workers are going on strike on the 14th and 15th of October. Over 11,000 workers will be walking out after adopting a 10-day strike mandate. The decision was made after 2 days of failed negotiations between their union and the government over their collective agreement. The workers hope to pressure management into stopping rollback cuts in the budget, improving salaries, and boosting resources into daycare services. The discussion of academic liberty is heating up again. Minister of Higher Education Danielle McCann reported on a commission researching academic liberty. Cedric Gallant has more on this.
The Independent Scientific and Technical Commission on the Recognition of Academic Freedom in Universities reported that 60% of higher education teachers have censored themselves in the past 5 years. This morning, Minister of Higher Education Danielle McCann showed that this is an important issue.
Well, I think we have to see it as a co-construction, that we work with the universities, and we want this question of liberté académique to be across Quebec.
The government is asking for better communication between students and teachers to determine the boundaries of academic liberty. Samuel Poitras, president of the Quebec Student Union, asks for clarity.
What at stake is having people, having professors, saying words that are discriminatory, saying words that offend people in class and not being imputable for that.
The debate is ongoing, but both parties are willing to move towards a dialogue that will discuss the limits and the liberties of academic teaching. This is Cédric Gallant in NDG for Concordia News.
Distance learning has been introduced at universities since the start of the pandemic, with calls to make this a permanent change. The Montreal Economic Institute says that there is an economic and educational benefit to remote learning. Peter Vrianis joins us with more. Peter, why is distance learning beneficial?
According to the Montreal Economic Institute, distance learning can offer the chance for many more students to be involved in learning. It also benefits students from rural areas as they can learn from home and support their local small businesses by getting a part-time job.
What exactly is the Economic Institute proposing when it comes to distance learning?
They believe that a student should have a choice on whether they want in-person, online, or hybrid learning. The Economic Institute encourages a hybrid learning mode, so the teachers would have to be okay with that, and the classes would have to be adapted to the teachers' needs.
And what do teachers think of remote learning becoming a staple in universities?
I think it's good to have it as an option on the side, but to make it a rule would be kind of crazy. I think it just it increases the workload for the professors to a massive degree, and it also makes it, I think, a lot worse for many of the students. I think if you can do in-person learning, you get a much better experience for both the student and the professor. So I wouldn't make it the rule, I would make it the exception.
Yeah, so teachers will definitely prefer to keep classes in person as it allows for more engagement from students and it doesn't double the professor's workload as a result.
Thank you, Peter. Canada's infrastructure is in deep water to the long-term consequences of climate change if nothing is addressed by federal and provincial governments. Three key areas of infrastructure at risk are housing, which is vulnerable to flooding, severe damage to railways and roads, as well as negative effects on electricity grids. The damage estimated are in billions, and Canadians could be financially and physically underwater without new investments and reduction of emissions in the decades to come. An unreleased recording of John Lennon was sold. Celine Dion announced her full support for a new documentary about her, and the new James Bond movie came out yesterday. Maggie McDonald is here to give us news about the entertainment industry.
Bond, any thug can kill. I have to know I can trust you.
Well, I understand 00s have a very short life expectancy.
No Time to Die, the new James Bond movie, finally came out yesterday after the premiere was postponed for over a year because of the pandemic. Many celebrities were there, lots of royalty since it was held in London.
I can touch the sky, I know that I'm alive.
Celine Dion gives her full support to a new documentary about her. Directed by the Oscar-nominated filmmaker Irene Taylor, the documentary is said to be very personal and should show parts of Celine Dion that have never been seen before. non-released recording of John Lennon was sold for a little over $86,000 yesterday at a Danish auction. The tape is a recorded interview done in January 1970 with John Lennon and Yoko Ono, including a never-heard-before song. People would expect this type of recording to go for $100,000. For our last news, a Korean man received over 4,000 phone calls a day after his phone number was used in the Netflix show Squid Game. The funny thing is that a South Korean presidential candidate offered him $100,000 for his phone number. And that's it for Hearts.
Thank you, Maggie. If you were one of the many Quebecers hoping to hit the jackpot with your Lotto Max ticket today, well, you're a little bit out of luck. A ticket holder in BC was the lucky winner of $70 million draw this morning. While you might be feeling a growing pessimism within your soul as you listen in, don't be too discouraged. Two other winning tickets have been sold in Quebec with a potential claim of over $1 million. And now on to the weather. The road leading to the weekend will be a little cloudy with a mix of sun on Friday and Saturday. Unfortunately, it looks like Sunday won't clear up and will be mainly cloudy, but hey, luckily there's very low risk of rain despite the lack of sunlight. And that's your news for 11:30. Thank you for listening. For Concordia News, I'm Anthony Issa.